Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We encourage you to come out and be with us this morning. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 a.m. for morning worship, and again at 6:30 p.m. Sunday evening for evening worship, and then again on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. But we want to remind you about a special series of lessons that begins tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, October the 14th through October the 20th, we will be having our fall gospel meeting. The subject and theme of this meeting is the home. Our guest speaker will be Brother Ron Halbrook from Shepherdsville, Kentucky. We encourage you to come and be with us and hear these wonderful lessons concerning God's plan and design for the home. You will have an opportunity to ask questions at the end of each lesson. Anything you need clarification or further questions about the subject that is presented, we'll be more than happy to entertain those questions. This whole week is dedicated to the home. It's a very timely subject. In a time when the home is under attack and many problems that are plaguing the home, we want to look at God's grand design of the home and also God's remedy to fix the problems that sometimes arise in a home. We believe that this series of lessons will be very helpful to you and Bible-centered. We encourage you to come and be with us each and every night that you have opportunity. And as we said last week, we're going to dedicate this month on the radio program to discuss the home. This morning, we want to talk about marriage, God's gift to man and to woman. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, after the creation of man and woman and really the whole earth, and then seeing that man did not have a companion, God created a woman and gave her to Adam. And Adam and Eve became the first married couple. And in verse 24 and 25 we read, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." God instituted marriage in these two verses. Marriage is God's gift to man and to woman. To seek a better understanding of this gift, what God did in the beginning includes the gift of children. It means two friends in love, permanent relationship, one man, one woman, ordained by God as holy and honorable. The better we understand it, the more we value it. Show God that we are thankful, we fulfill our duties to God and to our mates, and we cultivate this relationship to make it as good and as happy as it can possibly be. You see, man would tell us that marriage is very one-sided. There are many in the women's movement, the feminist movement, that tells us that marriage is tilted to favor the man. Such a person who reaches such a conclusion has never read what the Bible says about marriage. Marriage was instituted for the betterment of man and woman, and both are equal partners in this relationship. Yes, they have different roles, but those roles support each other. And marriage is a joint union for the betterment of mankind and for the betterment of man and woman. In the beginning, man and woman were created in the image of God, the person and the nature of God. What does that mean? That means that man has intelligence. He has an inner spirit. He has a soul that lives beyond his life here on earth. He has moral choice. He can choose right or wrong. He has emotion. He has fellowship with God, and he has the ability to choose the direction of his life. And we understand that in the beginning, God made man and woman to be a helpmeet. That means to one suitable, a companion for man for life. Woman was God's crowning work. She has no equal in the role that she plays. She has a very important part in God's eternal design. Marriage vows unite man and female in the sacred covenant, a commitment, not a convenience. We leave. What does that mean? It means we have a new independent home. We cleave. We're cemented together for life. One flesh, two people united as one. And we are to cultivate the garden of marriage. We are to continue to nurture it, to continue to cherish it, and continue to cultivate it to make it grow and become more meaningful as the years pass by. One of the blessings of marriage is the gift of children. God ordained the birth and nurturing of children in marriage. A child needs a father and a mother. Sadly, in our day and time, the single mother rate is the highest that it's ever been in our history. Also, there are more single mothers giving birth to children today than at any time in our nation. But God understood in His eternal design that a child needs both a father and a mother. It deepens the fellowship of marriage. It deepens the fellowship of marriage because that child is a part of both of you. It's a part of the life that you bring into the world. And with that becomes great responsibility. It enriches the character of parents. Why? Because they have the responsibility to teach that child, to train that child, to lead them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to prepare that child for life outside of the home. And it perpetuates mankind. It continues to allow the world to perpetuate itself by adding another human being into the human race. And so the gift of children was a gift given to God, to man and woman, to be used and to be part of the marriage relationship. In Psalms 127, 3 through 5, we're told that children are a heritage, a reward from God that makes the home stronger, happier with children in it. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12, God blesses father, mother, and child in this intimate relationship. Each of them have their special roles. Each of them have their special responsibility. But working together, the man, the woman, and the child, the husband, the wife, and the child will make a very intimate and close relationship and is where a home is structured. They are friends in love. The Song of Solomon celebrates steadfast love from courtship to marriage in Solomon's chapter, Songs of Solomon 2, verse 7. In chapter 8, verse 6 through 7, the bride extols the value of true love and experiences the friendship that deepens in marriage as two people bind into one. In Proverbs 8, verse 22, marriage was God's gift. Selah received not greater gift or a higher calling. Proverbs 18:24, a friend that would stick to us closer than anything else in life. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, we need to choose carefully in order that we might have the right mate. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, we can share, we can test ideals, and we can give constructive criticism one to another. We also understand that this marriage relationship is a permanent relationship. It is one man and one woman for life. Yes, we live in a divorce-happy society, but that is not the way that God designed marriage. He designed marriage to be a permanent relationship, until death do us part. Do you remember that phrase you said in your marriage vows? Do you remember what you promised to do before your friends, before God, and before your mate? For better or worse, for richer or poorer, until death do we part. Do we remember that? That's part of the marriage commitment. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, we are told that God hates divorce. Why? Because of the pain and the anguish that it caused. Is it lawful to divorce for every cause? Well, no, because that was asked by to Jesus in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. And Jesus told a very different answer than what we have today. We're told by Jesus himself that the only cause for divorce is for the sin of adultery. When a man or woman commits adultery, and that's having relations with one outside of his spouse, outside of the marriage bed, and goes with another person, that constitutes adultery. That means that it is right and honorable by God, and He gives the right to the one who has been sinned against to put away the adulterer and to be relieved from the bond of that marriage. The Bible gives no such thing to the one who committed adultery. They are bound to the law of God, and they violated their responsibility, and the Bible is absolutely silent as to what that person's relationship is in the marriage relationship from that point forward. Except it be for fornication is what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 9. That Greek word is translated fornication means unlawful sexual intercourse in general. What does it include? Well, of course, it includes fornication, but also includes harlotry, prostitution, adultery, incest, homosexual acts, unlawful marriages, and all such sexual intercourse in general, and to be more precise to the definition. Some of the translations have its sexual immorality. Anything that's immoral as defined by God. Not defined by men, but defined by God. And so, marriage is to be a permanent relationship. It is God's gift of marriage given to man and woman. And that is a gift to those who have never been married. Matthew 19:4-5. To if a mate dies or free from the law of marriage. Romans 2:7-3. And if a mate divorces for fornication or adultery, as we read in Matthew 19:9, they are free to marry. Those are the only three people that have the right to enter the marriage relationship that God recognizes as lawful and a binding covenant. Those who've never been married, those who mate dies, and one who has put his mate away for the cause of adultery. God does not sanction man's sinful desire for easy divorce or homosexual acts which are against nature, according to Romans 1:26-27. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. The law of the land may sometimes legalize homosexual marriages between men and men and women and women, and it may become a law in the land. That will never change what the Bible says about it. It will still be unlawful. It will still be sexual immorality, and it still will be a sin that is condemned and punishable by God. Read Romans 1 and also 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. We also know that marriage is holy and it's honorable. In Hebrews 13:4, the marriage bed is undefiled. God joins man and woman. Marriage is holy and honorable and acceptable. Look to God for guidance in that relationship. In Ephesians 5:22-23, roles are given to the husband and to the wife. These roles must be fulfilled. That doesn't mean that one party is better than the other. It means that they have different roles. In the roles given in marriage in Ephesians 5, the woman is to submit to the rule of her husband, and the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Both those things being done make the marriage relationship a very happy relationship and one that will benefit both the man and the woman. Divine law overrules human law and social standards. God gave man and woman in marriage. Not bestiality, not fornication, not adultery, not homosexual acts, not incest, not pedophilia, not pornography, not divorce on demand. All those things destroy God's original design. They destroy the purpose that God gave marriage. Understand this, dear listener. Marriage is a blessing given by our Creator to that which He created. It was something that was given to mankind for his enjoyment, to take care of the sexual desire that God placed in every man and woman when they were created, and to do it in a lawful way, and to do it in a way that would bring happiness and pleasure both to the man and to the woman. Anything outside of the marriage bed, anything outside of God's marriage law, only brings pain, heartache, and sin, and results in destruction and results in unhappiness for man. Yes, marriage is God's gift for mankind. Yet this gift can be misused, it can be abused, and it can be misunderstood. Understand this. The only marriage that God recognizes is one that's lawful in His sight, and one that both man and woman have the right to enter that relationship. But if we love each other like God commands us to, and we love God, that will be the closest thing to heaven on earth. Thank you for listening.